This is KUOW's The Record. Welcome to it. I'm Bill Radke. Seattle has a lot of empty places of worship and a lot of residents who list their religious affiliation as none. Some churches call this town the Nun Zone. So what are they doing to appeal to the nuns, the skeptics? You're going to hear that in just a few minutes. First, our top story today. What happens now that Seattle's head tax is gone? Just a month after passing the tax unanimously, the city council voted to repeal it and avoid a ballot fight. At City Hall yesterday, Wajamaya President and CEO Denise Moriguchi spoke in favor of that repeal.
Wajamaya has been around for 90 years. It was started by my grandfather. We've been employing people in the Pacific Northwest for 90 years. We've been feeding the community. We donate daily to the ACRS Food Bank. We also support many other organizations that support our communities most vulnerable. I want Seattle to be a vibrant, beautiful city, just like everyone else. I don't want people living in tents as well. I don't want people living on the streets. But this head tax is not the right answer. Taxing businesses, small businesses, businesses that have thin margins that aren't Amazon, will impact prices, will impact jobs, and that's not the right answer. So I want to work together to find real solutions. But this employee head tax is not the answer. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope you consider repealing the head tax today.
But Reverend Cecilia Kingman with Edmonds Unitarian Universalist Church told the council not to undo the tax.
In my congregation, we have homeless families sleeping in the parking lot every night. We have children sleeping in the parking lot. This is a sin in such a rich area as ours. And I believe we have a moral imperative to give all our families a home, all our children homes. Housing is a human right. And I demand in the name of the poor and the Poor People's Campaign and all that is holy that you do not only not repeal, but strengthen this plan. Yeah. Councilmember Sawant and Mosqueda for standing up, and shame on the rest of you for caving to corporate interests. I beg you, in the name of all that is holy, in the name of God, in all her names, to do what is just and merciful and right.
And this is Seattle City Councilor Lorena Gonzalez explaining why she voted for the head tax and why she has now voted against it.
There are limited options that we have available to us as a city in terms of generating new revenue that don't require us to further burden homeowners and consumers. And that's why we chose this particular policy. It wasn't because we hate one side more than the other, or that we hate anybody. It's because we have a real crisis in our city. And this was a clear solution to generate the revenue that we needed to be able to meet those needs. And I, like Councilmember O'Brien and Councilmember Herbold, have been unable to find a path forward in which we would be able to outfund and outresource and win this campaign in November. And that saddens me. That saddens me. And sadly, I wish that was true. Somebody from the audience just said that it's not just about money, but it is clear in this case that money has funded this campaign to put us in a situation where we are repealing this law. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And it gives me no pleasure. It gives me no pleasure to have to repeal this law, because I think this law was well done. We pursued a process of 9 months to do outreach, to talk to people, to make concessions that we never wanted to make. And we made those concessions because we felt that the urgency of now to address the reality that people are dying on our streets needed to be addressed. And it still does. You're absolutely right. It still does. That is the challenge before us. And we will continue on this city council to fight for solutions that make sense, that will not tear our city apart, and that will help us save the lives that we all know that we need to save.
Those are some of the voices from yesterday's emotional, as you heard, city council hearing in which the city decided to repeal that head tax that it unanimously passed just about a month ago. Now, one of the original sponsors of the head tax, City Councilor Mike O'Brien, faced some of the harshest backlash from the community.
You know, what this has proven is that various components of our community have the power to stop things. And what we need people to come together to actually solve things.
Actually solve things. Okay, so what solutions are there? Let's turn to local businesses that opposed the tax, including one that specializes in housing. Glenn Kelman is the CEO of the real estate brokerage Redfin. They came out against the tax, but they did not sign the business community's petition to repeal it. Glenn, welcome to KUOW.
Thanks for having me.
Saul Spady is the grandson of the co-founder of Dick's Drive-In Restaurants. He led the No Tax on Jobs campaign. However, he's not here representing them today. He also runs the ad agency Creative Empowerment in Seattle. Saul, welcome to KUOW.
Great to join you and have this tough conversation.
You both, a tough conversation. Well, let's have it. Both of you disliked the head tax, at least. The city council reversed it. You won that round. So, Glenn, what is your role now? You just heard Councilmember O'Brien talk about solutions. What is your role in the solution to affordability or homelessness as a Seattle business CEO?
Well, first, to be clear, we did not favor overturning the city council's head tax once it passed. We did say originally that when it was being discussed that we would prefer a different form of tax. We think you should tax revenue or income. There are other ways to tax businesses. The reason that we didn't sign the letter that almost every other business in Seattle signed against the head tax is because we have put the city in a position where it's very hard to raise revenue. You can't tax income because of a state constitution. And then we've opposed efforts to change that in 2010 and more recently in 2016. So our plea to the business community has been not to go in favor of a head tax, which tends to tax employment and favors businesses that use contractors instead, but to support a tax on income or to support a tax on revenue. They're just lots of ways that we can fund homeless programs. And our other position has been that you need to zone for more density.
Yes, because as you say, the income tax doesn't exist. That would take a change in state law. The voters have overwhelmingly defeated that. Now the head tax is repealed. So your favorite solution is a change in zoning. And will you briefly tell us why that is?
Well, the city can never build enough housing on its own. And if you talk to any builder in the city, they want to create much larger buildings, and most neighborhoods in Seattle aren't zoned for that kind of density. You take very liberal people who are very supportive of homeless populations and other programs like that, and they go crazy when somebody tries to build a condominium tower in their neighborhood because it puts your house in shade, because it creates more traffic and things like that. But the only alternative is a very expensive city. Any city spending will be a drop in the bucket if we don't build more housing.
Okay, Glenn, so then you didn't like the option of a head tax. You prefer an income tax, but that doesn't exist.
A tax on revenue.
Or a tax on revenue, which is not happening now. So one could say that those business sacrifices are not happening, and you're suggesting what, as you just described, would be a sacrifice to homeowners who don't want apartments next to them. They like their neighborhood the way it is. So what is the sacrifice that Redfin, that's realistic, that's a real thing, what is your responsibility now toward the issue of affordability or homelessness?
To call every business leader we know and say that we have to be very clear about the kind of tax we would support, and to say openly and aggressively that we're willing to pay more taxes to solve this problem.
Okay, calling business owners. Saul, you're a business owner, Saul Spady. Is there a tax that you would support for affordability for homeless services?
You know, and I think this is actually a perfect conversation because it's everything that we're going to have to go through in Seattle. Glenn and I don't see perfectly eye to eye, but there's things that we can connect on. I have a problem with how much the city is spending. Our budget's ballooned about $2 billion in the last 4 years. And I think there is a reasonable argument to say that the city could spend more effectively. Where I think Glenn has nailed it, though, is the concept that people want to build more. And I think it's unfair to say that it's either business owners making sacrifices or homeowners making sacrifices. Business owners are quite often homeowners sometimes, and vice versa.
But we have to be willing to make sacrifices. We have to be willing to pay more taxes. Are you willing to do that?
I've got a really small business.
I think the answer is
plan,
no.
So, Glenn, I've got a super small business, so my margins are pretty low. But I appreciate your perspective. I would love to talk to you about the idea of zoning within a half mile, let's say, of light rail for high-density dorm-style buildings where you don't have to build parking for people like myself who don't own cars. For example, Nikita Oliver really nailed it in the last election. She pointed out how the city owns a ton of land, and you similarly said that the city can't personally build its way out of it. So maybe we could take Nikita Oliver's idea of using city land. We could do what the current council has done with the Key Arena and allow those developers who do want to build the option of, let's say, building 10 stories. And that's just an example. We can obviously get into the nitty gritty, you know, 10 stories of dorm style housing where they have to give the bottom two stories to a service provider, a la what Amazon did, building 200 units into the bottom of one of their new buildings.
Okay, Saul, that's a suggestion. I want to, when we're talking about what your what the business role is, what your role would be, I don't hear that you're in support of any new tax. You said the city has enough money and should spend it more effectively. So what should the city stop spending on in order to shift that money toward affordability and homelessness services? What should the city not do?
I guess I'd like the city can partner with the business community, that we have this mix of it's either the city building housing or no one's building housing is really confusing to me. When Amazon offered to build that dorm-style housing, co-housing into its building, the mayor at the time, not our current mayor, had to allow that. He created a special zoning exception for that. It isn't against the realm of reason for the city to provide avenues for developers to help build our way out of this. The one thing the city is not going to get is a developer isn't going to build a building that they can't make money on. Similarly, I would assume Redfin would never build a house that they can't make a profit on or sell a house they can't make a profit on. But I understand.
Glenn, you've said that the goal of all government and economic policy should be to maximize, not penalize, employment. What if citizens decide that maximizing employment diminishes their quality of life? They don't like the price increases, the traffic, the construction, the homelessness that they may connect to price increases. They don't want the upzoning of single-family neighborhoods. So is that the goal of all government economic policy, to maximize employment, if the citizens are saying we want something different?
Well, there's obviously room for disagreement, but I think that should be the top priority. I've seen the city of San Francisco, where I lived before coming back home to Seattle, stick its head in the sand, oppose every kind of growth initiative, and it basically became a place where only millionaires could live. And so the reason that we've tried so hard as a business to talk about the taxes that we would be not only willing, but eager to pay, to talk about different ways that we can try to reach across to all the other parties in this discussion, is because we've seen what happens when we just try to say no to prosperity. You stick your head in the sand and you get a city that nobody wants. No one in the city of San Francisco is happy with how things have turned out there, where the average home costs more than $1 million, where Google buses are being pelted with eggs, where homeless people are suffering on the same street that Twitter and Dropbox are located. It's just a tragedy. And so because we've seen that, we really tried to take this very aggressive position about saying, I wouldn't tax employment. There are so many businesses right now that don't pay a living wage, that try to use contractors, where the janitor can never get the corner office, where the Uber driver never gets a career, never gets a salary, never gets health care benefits. You don't want to punish the businesses that are employing people, but you do want to ask those businesses to pay a tax based on their ability to pay, based on their revenues, based on their income. That's just the difference. As a CEO, my goal is to drive the mission of the company, but also to drive profit.
Okay.
And that's different than government policy, which should be to drive employment, to get people jobs.
Saul, you are a former board member of Mary's Place. You started No Child Sleeps Outside campaign, raising money for Mary's Place. What are you concretely doing next? Now that this head tax is repealed, what are you doing and what are you giving when it comes to alleviating social ills in Seattle?
Well, and I'd like to just point out, my business is very different from Redfin. So I'm an extremely small business. I gross less than $300,000 a year. For me, it isn't about what I can give with money. It's about what I can give with time. So with the No Child Sleeps Outside campaign, that was a commitment that we needed more family homeless emergency shelter as soon as possible. And I committed my energy to trying to raise that money with the organization I thought that was most effective. What I would ask every business, Redfin included, is to try to find, you know, if you want to pay more taxes, you're more than welcome to send in more money to the city government, but also find a charity in Seattle that you'd love to partner with. One of my favorites in the city that I wish the city, and again, I would love to see the city partner with businesses and with charities to do effective work, is the Millionaires Club. A majority of the people at Safeco Field are coming out of a slightly homeless lifestyle, working concessions, you know, and they got placed there with the Millionaires Club. How cool would it be if we had a business-funded program between unions, Amazon, Redfin, that funded a trash pickup team of former homeless people who would then get connected with services and then get connected with those bottom floors of dorm-style housing and then could choose their career and choose their union and or, you know, go into restaurants if they like that and work with Fair Start. I guess I understand.
Glenn, do you want to join that team?
Well, we have. We support Recovery Cafe and things like that. And I want to be clear that I don't want to accuse anyone of having bad intentions. We all want to solve the problem. We really do. And the challenge that I have with some of the ideologues is this assignment of malice to someone on the left or the right. But where we disagree is that when we as a society collectively decide to solve a problem, the way we do that is by funding it through taxes. And I'm not saying that that's the only solution. I do think that zoning and other regulations can create more housing. But I would love to see the business community, and especially the tech community, reach across the aisle, even when it hurts, to try to avoid the schism that I saw in San Francisco. I'm begging you to do that because the loss of trust, the lack of dialogue is so deadly.
That's really frustrating, Glenn, because I've spent a lot of time having conversations with people who don't necessarily agree with me, trying to do the exact same thing.
I don't know if you
watched the city council yesterday, but there was a lot of blame being placed on the citizens. And I think that's a little unfair that the spending has increased massively. There is a point where you can sometimes ask for accountability on dollars. Literally, I've talked with union members, with small business owners and large business owners. We all understand what it means to set a budget and meet it. This council literally laughs at us when we ask for that. And that isn't an unfair thing to ask for, along with, you know, changing zoning, along with businesses like Amazon, let's say, building housing into their buildings. There's no one in San Francisco that's built, you know, 200, that is building 200 shelter units into their building. We have bottom floor retail that's empty all over the city because no one can afford it. Why don't we provide tax incentives to give that bottom floor retail away? It doesn't always have to be taxed. That's where I get
I'm not frustrated, but I'm just curious
why we can't do some of these other things I've mentioned, and it has to be more taxes.
Okay, guys.
I'm just saying that it has to be all three. It has to be businesses taking leadership, government getting efficient, better regulations around zoning, and more funding.
Glenn,
the most likely outcome is that there will be more homelessness next year.
Glenn and Saul, that's our time for the segment for now. We are putting the pause on the blame and the malice that you described and trying to figure out what solutions we can agree on even from different points of view. So I really appreciate that. Glenn Kelman, CEO of Redfin, Saul Spady, who runs the ad agency Creative Empowerment in Seattle, led the No Tax on Jobs campaign, not representing them today, representing himself. Thanks to the both of you for this time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.